There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me adjust my microphone before it makes your toenails curl. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. It is Tuesday, and I believe it is the 11th of January, 2011. Tuesday, 11-11. 1-11-11. Ooh, is that some numerological thing that we have to worry about? I'm getting weird emails about that, about the numerology and the satanic significance of the day of the shooting. But I don't know. My brain doesn't get around that kind of stuff. Well, welcome to the Dutch Jones Experience. Welcome to everyone in the chat room. Welcome to the folks that are just checking us out. Because of the nature of incidents this week, we're getting a lot of people that don't normally listen to this show. And how do I know that? They are trying to convince me that what we're doing is wrong by sending me emails. So that's a good thing. The more people that listen to this show, maybe we'll plant some seeds and let God do the rest of the work. So who are we? Who is the Dutch Jones radio program? In case this is the first time you're tuning in or you're listening on one of the replays, it looks like we've got all the regular guests here that always listen to us. Oh, we got one guest, somebody who's not registered. Welcome. Special welcome to Scotty and his listeners in upstate New York. We appreciate you. We thank you for listening to the Militant Christian Worldview, or the Christian Militant Worldview. I guess we should put more emphasis on Christian than we do militant. We are doing here what I can't find anybody else doing. I find other places that come close, but I don't think anybody tries to focus as much as we do on the Christian side of things. And boy, I'm telling you, I was in a group on Yahoo. Why is the dog typing? Stacy's got the Ruger the Wonder Dog in her lap, and I saw him typing something. You're going to have him send a message? I caught you letting the dog type. There's going to be gibberish in the chat room. It's from the dog. No, we have Mr. Bunny Lampkins is in the room. We haven't seen him for a while. Welcome back. Bat Fag in our usual group. But where was I going with that before I saw the dog typing, which threw me off? Let me catch my mental train of thought here. I was on Yahoo Groups. And a group, there was a group there called Unorganized Militia, and I used to go there and just read what they post. I didn't really post much. And just the usual banter that goes back and forth, oh, we've got to do this, oh, we've got to do that. I didn't see a lot on training. And I posted something in there about the church at Kaweah looking for families, and they said that it didn't meet their standards and they didn't post it. So I don't know if any of you are a member of that, unregulated militias. I quit it because I figure if they're not allowing a Christian militia to reach out to people, then there's something wrong there. So anyone that's a member of unregulated militia groups that has been listening to the show, shame on you guys. Let your moderator know that if we can't promote Christian militias, the Church of Kaweah, or this radio show, there's something wrong with the group you're in. It's interesting to see how many people are coming. I'm not letting a tragedy go unwasted either. Like Rahm Emanuel is trying to backpedal from this. I'm not going to backpedal from it. I'm going to exploit it because I'm finding a lot of limp-wristed so-called patriots, Confederates, all in the group that listen to this show that are going, Dutch, you're being too harsh. Remember yesterday when I said guns don't kill people, potheads kill people? That has made people mad. I mean, of all the things I said in yesterday's show, and thank you very much for all of you that called in, and the phone number is up, 559-346-8362, 559-346-8362, and you can go ahead and call in and rant on this or any other topic. I better put the phone in front of me so I make sure I can see it. Let's make sure it's on and plugged in. And yeah, okay, there it is. And I've got the I got the phone number up in the viewer there. Yeah, it was done with a crayon. We couldn't find a marker. Lou's too lazy to figure out how to put a graphic up there. Bad Lou. Bad Lou. What's your problem, Lou? They can't hear you sticking your tongue out at me. But anyway, I got a lot of grief about that guns don't kill people, potheads kill people. And there are people going, oh, you're a little harsh. Oh, you're picking on this. So then I remembered my brother's a pothead, and he killed a cop. He ran over a cop. Granted, the cop was a pothead, too, so it was extenuating circumstances. I was hit by a drunk driver and crippled for almost a year and a half. So anybody who misuses these things, drugs, alcohol, what?
Hitler got his ideas from pot.
Yeah, Hitler smoked a lot of pot, I heard. Wasn't that a family guy?
That's how he got the idea to kill a bunch.
Yeah, he was smoking pot and he thought up killing a bunch of Jews. So I was, you know, I'm getting heat for that. They're saying I'm being too mean, publishing quotes by Obama where he says that people should be shot and stuff. You know, these tactics of the left, they just don't, they're going, let's just all heal. Let's not aggravate this situation. Let's think of the child that was killed. Okay, I'll give you that. It's a tragedy that a 9-year-old was killed. And it's funny because earlier today people were telling me that her dad was calling for gun control. I just heard his voice on Fox TV saying he does not want this to take away any more freedoms. He goes, I don't want my daughter's death to create any more restrictions. Amen, amen, amen. Because right now, we've got a bill that's being introduced by, I forgot her name and I can't get to it right now, but, you know, a libtard who wants to limit weapons to just single shots. Why should anybody be able to have multiple shots? We've got a guy by the name of Brady, not the usual Brady, but he's in Bob Brady. Bob Brady, sorry about the pop on the mic there. He is introducing a bill to make it illegal to use hate symbols or insightful symbols. So we were talking like maybe Target would have to lose their symbol because that suggests shooting. You can't say terms. There was some congressman named Savage, no, Slaughter, who was saying that we have to get rid of hate speech. And I saw what's his name, Glenn Beck, was saying, well, you got to change your name. You have a violent name. It's offensive to me.
Oh yeah, Glenn Beck was trying to.
Glenn Beck took it to the limit. I've been watching Glenn Beck.
We got to ban sadness,
depression, angry. We got to ban everything.
Yeah.
We've got to stop this from ever happening again. We got to take every kitchen knife and put a tennis ball on the end of it so it's blunt and glue it there. We can't sell anything that has a hardness greater than a sponge because it could be used for a blunt trauma attack.
Pitchforks.
Pitchforks. Yeah, we got to do away with pitchforks, and of course, you know, the masses have to do that. Let's see. Everyone get into the darn FEMA camps and be supervised by Big Sister. Yeah, Batfag, you got it right there. I can't believe how many guys with Confederate flags on their Facebook page are telling me, Dutch, you're being too mean. I've had people deleting me, and I've been deleting people all day, but it's been balancing out because this brought a lot of people. I was watching all day, and until you broadcast took a dump and stopped replaying our show from yesterday, which was an excellent show, by the way. Probably one of my more favorite shows I've ever done because you guys participated and called in, so don't let me down today. And remember, the second hour is Code 20 with Steve Klein. I've been chatting with him, texting back and forth. He is going to talk about this case a little bit and how it deals with cell warfare and the free radical lone wolf type attitude. But I got a bunch of stuff to you to talk about, man. It's just hilarious, the stuff that's been coming out. And I do mean hilarious, haha, because of the stupidity. We watched Dupnik, the sheriff, say on tape in public that we were aware that this guy, Loeffner, however you want to say it, was a threat. He made threats to people. He made death threats. He was a danger. We had contact with him. It turns out his mother and I think an aunt or a sister worked for the county too. He was never followed up on, and now Dupnik is saying, oh, that's, you know, no, we didn't know about him. We never heard about him, even though all the complaints that came from community college resource officers, which were police, and there was all this stuff, but he was covering up for him. Again, it totally falls into my theory that he was an MK Ultra type. He was conditioned for this, and the target was probably the judge. And I want to keep getting your input on that. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the modern day campfire. I've been watching a lot of stuff today, just a few minutes ago, and I'm going to throw these topics out there, and then you guys can call in. Philadelphia is having almost riots at their grocery stores because of a snowstorm. Who of our listeners are in Pennsylvania? What is wrong with those people? Is this the first time they ever got a blizzard in Philadelphia?
Apparently.
They showed people swarming and buying like 20 loaves of bread and every egg they could find. Most of America is not ready. If they're not ready for a blizzard, they're not ready for what Obongo is going to do to them when he exploits all this stuff. He's not going to be ready at all. Oh, thanks. A little late, but okay. Hand it over here. I'll make sure. I don't know if that one's going to work. It's almost too big. Yeah, see, that's where I wanted to do it. Where'd they get the... They did it with a black crayon? Let's see here, guys. I'm going to give you the phone number again here. Let's see here if I can do this.
I guess so.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, well, back up. Right there. No, over.
Okay, I'm watching it here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, there you go. There's the phone number. It's up for you. That's a little easier to see. I think they used a bigger crayon. Mr. Bunny Lampkins, I know many homeschool families in Pennsylvania. They are always stocked up.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the general public, though? I'm finding people here that are contacting me now because they're starting to wake up, and each month it gets more. And they're telling me, Dutch, well, they're calling me by my real name, DJ. They're like, DJ, you've always done this stuff. What's going on? Why, you know, what are you doing? I said, it's probably too late for you. Your whole family's going to die. Give me your babies. If you've got any resources just given to me, you're going to die. It's too late for you. It's too late to start. And then when they start panicking, are you serious? I go, no, it's not too late. Although there are some of them, I wouldn't mind taking their kids and training them upright, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. So this whole incident is, I'm going to exploit it for as much as I can. I'm going to exploit it for good. That's the difference between me and the Fabian socialist, scumminess, neo-Nazis. And I've been putting scumminess out there all day and really infuriating people. So Warland's not in the room. He said he wasn't feeling well. I think it was this morning or yesterday, maybe yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling well. Back on to more local things. California, if you're living in California, get your ammo. Get your ammo. More and more businesses are saying they're just not going to do it because of the overly restrictive fascist rules and regulations. We're going to have to establish some kind of underground railroad for ammo coming in from the free states. Maybe that way I can actually make some money on it. I won't exploit it, but I will be a gun runner. An ammo runner. I will run ammo. I don't have money to buy guns, but I'll go into Nevada and buy ammo. We're going to have to set up some kind of network. So those of you that are out there that want to figure out how to help California out, send care packages of ammo to your California neighbors, because even Walmart says they're not going to sell it. And get your guns ready, because they're coming after guns. Today, you know, we're not at our stronghold. I do have a weapon with me here, as always, for personal protection, because you never know when they're going to come for us, when they're going to kick in that door and say, Dutch, you shouldn't have talked about that yesterday. We need to take you in.
I'm so sick about that.
And so get your stuff ready. You know, sharpen your shotguns and lubricate your swords, and just make sure everything that you have is ready. This week, that's what we're going to be doing when we get back up. I actually am resting up. We've been sitting in our pajamas all day trying to get the website up. And what we're going to talk about in the next 15 minutes, we were working on our water filter business. We've got to generate some funds. We've got to generate some funds. And I know you guys have already given what you can. You buy what you can, and I appreciate that. But take our website, cut and paste it around. You can be little soldiers for the Dutch Jones mercantile here, for the Stacy's surplus store. I'm asking you, if you like the stuff, advertise it.
Oh.
Now, what?
Are you going to talk about water filters?
Yes, I'm going to talk about water filters. I just said that. You weren't listening? I said for the next 15 minutes we're going to talk about our water filters.
No, you didn't.
Stacy's not listening to me. See, she's in the same room with me, but she's in another world. Let me look here. Are we on the air? Are we on the air? Hello? Hello, are we on the air? Is this thing working? Let me go to our website here. Well, I got to go to it, and it's going to start playing, so this is going to be weird. Okay, let's try this. I hope it doesn't kick me off. Okay, let's try this. As soon as it does it, I'm going to go to the store so I can tell you about our water filters. Now, to get to our store, you go to dutchjones.info, and hopefully this didn't just kick us off, because whenever I do this, sometimes it kicks us off. Okay, we're here. There we go. If you go to dutchjones.info, at the top there's a little menu there, a gray bar. You can go to the store, and the first thing that comes up, it says, click here how to find out about our new home filtration system. Our water systems are personal or for the whole house, anywhere from about $70 to $850. The $850 one is for your whole house. It filters Giardia, all that kind of stuff out. But what we sell are more or less these small filters that you hook them up. And there are a difference between water filtration and water purification. So that's why you're going to see different prices on these different items. We attach ours to a bucket. You can attach yours to a bladder. But these Sawyer brand water filters, they are a kidney dialysis filter, a little bit bigger in size than, you know, one of these smartphones, but they're round. They're a cylinder, maybe 2.5 inches around in diameter. And they do all kinds of good stuff. I'm going to post this in the chat room so you guys can look at it, because I have had about 6 of you ask about our water filters. And since we don't have a commercial right now running, I should have been doing that today. I should have been making a commercial. Let's see. Control V. Okay, so yeah, cut and paste that. You'll be able to take a look at our water filters. The neat thing about these water filters is they're gravity feed. What's wrong?
On my computer.
They're set up and forget about. You can do about 500 gallons a day with the bucket ones like we have, as long as you're using not like completely filthy, nasty water. But one of the things about water purification, you got to realize, a lot of people have misconceptions. They think they can take like pee and salt water and poo-poo Jaime water out of the sewer and put it in there. You can't do that. The water filtration systems that you have are like for stream water, running water, some standing water that hasn't been contaminated with too much stuff. They'll get Giardia, typhoid, and all that kind of stuff out. But for heavy metals, things like that, and like heavily contaminated water, you have to pre-strain it, you have to boil it, you have to filter it, you have to do all that stuff. The stuff we sell is right on survival. It's for taking it out of rivers, lakes, out of the back of your toilet, out of your water heater, you know, all kinds of stuff, and then you filter it. It goes down to 0.01 microns, which is better than most of them. Now, a lot of people are saying, we're going to get the Berkey. We're going to get the big Berkey. Those big Berkeys, after about 1,200 to 1,400 gallons, you have to clean the filters. Ours, you do not. You don't have to buy new filters. You don't have to boil them. You simply backwash them if they get clogged because you're using dirty water or brackish water or something that's got a lot of contaminants in it. But if you pre-filter, if you use your 5-gallon bucket and you put literally just a t-shirt over the top of it and pour your water through it and let the heavy particulates, the bigger particulates, get caught in the t-shirt, you're not going to have any problem. You may have some discoloration in the water because of iron. I found most things that I find are iron deposits, rust in the water. You're not going to get rid of that with any water filtration system unless you just keep refiltering it. Now, the purification systems that use chemicals and things like that, they're going to make the water taste funny and things like that. So somebody just mentioned that they carry electrolyte mixes. Yeah, have a lot of electrolyte mixes to make your water taste better, to make your water taste better. We have Kool-Aid. Mary says the video was good that we posted today about our filters, and she shared it on Facebook. Thank you very much. You know, the electrolytes that that Mary's asking for, we use Gatorade. We just grabbed Gatorade. Our church is stocked up on Gatorade. What was that? What was that gook juice that we had?
Yeah,
they changed the name to be politically correct. And if Minuteman gets in here, I'll ask him because he knows the guy who has the company. I think we sent it to somebody. Didn't we give it away?
I think
our sample. What was the name of that gook juice?
Gookinade.
Gookinade. Thank you. Gookinade. But what did they change the name to? Do you know? Okay, so Gookinade. Gookinade.
I-N-A-I-D.
G-O-O-K-I-N-A-I-D. And that's what a lot of search and rescue and farming use. But we get Gatorade, Crystal Light. There's all kinds of things you can get. I mean, but water's water. But to replace the stuff in your body that you're wasting, the minerals and the vitamins, you got to add to it. So stock up on that stuff. We don't go crazy about the electrolytes.
It was invented by a guy named something Gook.
Yeah, the guy's last name was Gook, but, you know, Asians got all upset, even though the guy's name was Kook. So, I don't know. I'm sure if I called something Dutchinade, the Dutch would get mad or something, saying you're defaming the public of the Dutch, or the name of the Dutch people. But water purification is critical. You can go out and spend. I had one guy tell me, I don't know if you're in the room. Somebody today told me they spent $9,000 on their house filtration system.
Oh, it was $5,000. I know who it was.
Yeah, it uses 60 pounds of salt. It's all computerized. it doesn't make sense to me, because when the power goes out, it's not going to help you anyway. And it's just, you know, what you really need is microfiber filters, ceramic filters, silver, colloidal silver filters, and you're going to survive. That with boiling, a few drops of bleach, if you have a large container. What you need to be doing is, if you've got baby pools and stuff like that and you live in an area of heavy rain, start thinking about building yourself cisterns that you can filter. We have a stream running through our house. I mean, it literally goes through our basement, so we've got water there. We walk 150 yards in either direction. We have a stream to the south of us, and we have a river to the north of us. We are set. So maybe that's why I don't talk about it enough, and I apologize. But those of you that are in cities, and if you're going to get trapped in a city, you're going to have big containers, baby pools, things like that to catch rain on your rooftops. Don't forget places where water is stored, water heaters in every single apartment. If you're the only one in the building, you start draining water heaters with that safety valve on the bottom to get your water. But you got to filter it. I would filter it even then. Because once a city's municipal water system goes off, you don't know what's been released into it. When all the electricity goes and the engineers leave, the tap water that comes out will be contaminated. So it will get into the backs of your toilets. I don't recommend taking it out of the bowl, but you can take it out of the back of the toilet. Lou? Put your headphones on and sit and listen to the show. Sorry about that. I had to do some parenting. Lou was going nuts. He was like flopping around on the bed like an idiot.
What's wrong with the dog?
What we're going to do for our water is I must have three or four different ways to filter. But the Sawyer brand water filters that we sell, you look at the prices, you guys that are on the page right there. I mean, I'm trying to find, I think the cheapest one's $80. No, $75. $75. $185. $85. $130. What's the one for $130 here? The 4-liter water treatment system includes fully sealable and dispensing dirty water vessel and biological inline filter. It comes with a bladder. They have the bladders and stuff, so you can do that. I like the buckets. Just get some food grade. We didn't even buy food grade buckets. Stacy just sanitized them with bleach water. They're buckets we got at like the Home Depot or something. Well, we got them at the hardware store. Just white buckets. Now, for me, if I was going to recommend just one, is the biological bottle still available?
Yeah.
Yeah, the biological bottle. I'm looking for it here, and I haven't seen it yet. The biological bottle, it's a larger bottle that everything's in it. It comes with sink adapter. You can do that. The bucket adapter is $70. That's the cheapest one we have. It's a 1-gallon bucket filter with 1-foot hose. It says 70 right here on the bottom of the page, Dace, just above DVDs. It's the SP179. It's a 0.1 micron absolute hollow fiber membrane inline filter and bucket adapter pre-assembled. This comes with a 1-gallon bucket. Everything's there for $70. Clean water for remote camps and cabins, up to 540 gallons of clean water per day. The filtration system exceeds EPA standards for the removal of bacteria, protozoa, and cysts. And it uses the Sawyer 0.1 filter, which is what pretty much all these use. Now, the water purification system that I was telling about is $230, self-contained. It comes with a 4-liter bladder. A 4-liter clean storage, so you have the dirty water and the clean water. Don't mix them up. Has a dispensing cap. It goes down to 0.02, not 0.1, 0.02. Just for those of you that were trained in the public education system, that means a smaller filtration system. It uses an absolute hollow fiber filter inline purifier. Comes with a faucet adapter, drink tube, cleaning, and maintenance instructions. It'll do 1 million gallons guaranteed. I don't know if you guys are thinking about that when I say that. 1 million gallons. And the only reason they picked 1 million is because nobody's ever had to change out one of these filters. And these filters have been deployed over Africa, Asia. What's going wrong, Stace? And 1,000 other places, and they're still running. People are still using. What they usually do is one bucket for 4 families in a disaster. And they take turns, maintaining it. It's something great for the kids to do. But 1 million gallons. They said, because that's a lot of water, but we could not have a limit. We don't know the limit. We are confident in our million-gallon claim because you can continually clean the filter by backwashing it with clean water. So there really is no end to its useful life. That, you know, the government wouldn't let them say it'll last forever, so they had to say something, so they said a million. Follow the helpful hints included in your directions for use. Backwashing it is not required often unless you are filtering turbid, dirty water, like real muddy water with plant material and biomatter in it. Backwashing only takes a few seconds. If you're accustomed to a ceramic filter, the leaning ratio is approximately 20 to 1. In other words, by the time you first need to clean your hollow fiber filter, you will have needed to clean a ceramic filter about 20 times. I have a Katydyn backpack filter, two of them actually. Well, two filters, one pump. And I have to boil them all the time. They clog up. They actually clog up. They both have silver in them, and eventually you can't pump them. And we've got to start doing that. So every time you have to clean your Sawyer filter, you would have had to have cleaned your ceramic filters 20 times. I hope that's getting through you. Now, people have asked about this, so I'm hoping that you like it. Now, people are saying they like the Berkey better. Yeah, it looks nice. It looks like a water, you know, cooler that you would have in your house, silver. The plastic ones, I'm here to tell you, they don't use good plastic. Lou, what was the one we had that we gave away? What was that, number 7 plastic? Mm-hmm. Number 7 plastic on the Berkey portables, the Berkey Light. Yeah, it tasted terrible. It tasted like the water came out, tasted like plastic. We got it as a wedding gift from Liberty Radio Live guy, Nikki, and because he sells them over there. And it's not like I'm trying to slam Berkeys, but I'm telling you, we've used both. And I just gave our Berkey away. It was a $200 Berkey. We just gave it away. Somebody did not have a water filter. And I said, hey, you know, and they'd been trading us stuff. And I said, here, take this water filter. We've got our Sawyers. And the filters are smaller. If you've dealt with the Berkeys, they're long 12 to 14 inch charcoal filters. You know, they got that black foam over them. I don't know if they're probably ceramic. I said charcoal, but I don't think so. They're black, and I just don't like them. And they clog faster. You have to take them off and boil them. They're harder to get to. This one, the filter's right there on the end of the hose. And you just take the syringe that's supplied and backwash it. Backwash it into, you know, pick up some clean water that you've already filtered. Backwash it through with a whole syringe, and you're ready to go again. You're ready to go again. And they're not susceptible to cold or anything like that. They've used them in all different climates. And, you know, yeah, it's a sales pitch, but I literally had 5 of you asking me, why don't you talk about the Sawyers? What's about them? What's going on? So I really pushed it.
Bucket doesn't include...
Yeah, some of them, the buckets aren't. You don't need the bucket. Don't get the bucket.
None of them. The buckets don't come with them. You got to buy your own bucket.
Oh, the 1 gallon one, even though it said fully assembled, doesn't come with a bucket?
Yeah, none of them.
You people are responsible for your own buckets. We don't want to have to parcel post you a bucket.
Yeah.
UPS you a bucket.
So I have to go out and buy you one.
And you may not want to use a bucket. You may have one of those 5 gallon loose bladders. You can attach it on those. Anybody with half a brain and some hose clamps can attach them to what they need. So we're going to, as we get ready here to take a break, we'll come back and we'll have the phones ready for you to call in. We'll talk about a couple other things. I hope I answered your questions on the water filters. You know, I really do. And we'll be back after this break.
Was none bolder, with good broad shoulder. He'd fought in many a fray and fought and won. He'd seen the glory, he told the story of battles glorious and deeds victorious. But now he's sighing, his heart is crying to leave those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills or the island hills. They're not Mylands hills, and fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home. And now the soldier, the Scottish soldier, who wandered far away and soldiered far away, sees leaves are falling and death is calling, and he will fade away in that far land. He called his piper, his trusty piper, and bade him sound away. A pibroch sat to play upon a hillside, but Scottish hillside, not on those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills or the island hills. They're not Mylands hills, and fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home.
Scottish soldier will wander far no more, and soldier far no more, and on a hillside, a Scottish hillside, you'll see a piper play his soldier home. He's seen the glory, he's told the story of battles glorious and deeds victorious. The bugle cease now, he is at peace now, far from those green hills of Tyrol. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not my land's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home. Because those green hills are not Highland hills, or the island hills, they're not my land's hills. And fair as these green foreign hills may be, they are not the hills of home.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome back to the Dutch Jones radio program as we discuss all things pertinent to the holy cause of liberty, survival, a little bit of politics, a lot of bit of militia, a lot of bit of survival. And Stacy wants to kill her computer, so please pray for her computer. What's it doing, Stace? It's acting weird. Well, Lou's in the room. Yeah, my computer went nuts today, and I don't know what they're doing, but that's the way it goes. Well, that kind of does it for the water filters, unless you guys have any questions to call in, 559-346-8362, if you want to interact on that. I just can't stop being angry about this shooting and the movements that they're going to make on the Second Amendment, the movements that they're going to make on our individual rights. One thing that you've got to watch for this, the mental ill question, the mental ill question. I just saw a guy on Fox say, in Pima County, there are over 70,000 known mentally ill people and only 20,000 are receiving treatment. Watch for mandatory Obama mental health medical coverage now. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Obamacare, mandatory mental health. The comments coming out, they're saying things like, well, we can't just throw everybody in jail. We just can't, you know, just because, you know. So people are going, well, yes, you can. If you had thrown this man in jail and you had locked this guy up, it would be great, you know, if we could do this. And Moreland's asking me if I had heard the 9-year-old's father say he doesn't want to have any more restrictions on our rights because of this. He doesn't want his daughter being used, that 9-year-old girl, Crystal. I think her name was Crystal. Wasn't it Crystal? No.
Don't know.
You guys help me out there. I'm talking to too many people. That at least the father is strong in this. But watch for it. They're going to start, because already I've told you guys the story. The VA wants all veterans to go through a psychological analysis now. I refuse to do it. I'm waiting for them to say, well, if you don't do it, we're not going to let you get free medical care. Well, it's not free medical care because I earned it. You agreed to it in a contract when I signed up for it. So watch. They've got to get people. They've got to get...
They're already kind of using that poor little girl.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're putting the dead girl's face all over, but the dad won't let him do it, though. That's the good news. The dad says he doesn't want any part in it.
And then all those other ones that were wounded.
Yeah.
And then that poor U.S. rat, they're using all of them.
Yeah, they're going to exploit this whole situation to try and force you to take more mind control pills to get evaluated. Because with the mandatory, you know, and of course there's another side of this that a lot of states are saying they're going to fight it. But I want to go with this line of thought here so that people don't forget this. Listen to how they're talking about mental health in this issue. Oh, it's so sad. There's not enough funds. There's not. Let me tell you something. These psychiatrists that work for the county, they're pulling down $90 to $150 an hour. That's where the money's going. For like one guy to see as many people as he can in one day and write prescriptions. These treatment facilities that the counties run, they're cash cows for two people, the doctors and the pharmacology vendors. Pharmaceuticals is going to be their answer for all of this. Pay attention and jump on it when anybody suggests it. Anybody around you and your family says, well, if he had just been evaluated more. Well, how? Who's going to pay for that? Now, when he made death threats to people at his school, that should have been an intervention there. But then they say, well, what about the person who just snaps when he never, you know, because that could happen too. Yeah, it could. So they're going to call for mental screenings of everybody. And now they're going to start putting drugs in our water.
Oh, wait, they already have, aren't they?
Yeah.
I thought they were already doing that.
You know, am I out of line here? And, you know, do you have a different view? Give me a call. I want to hear your theory on what they're going to use. What are they going to do to exploit this? What is going to be their trophy they take away from this? They're going to use the Hegelian dialectic. Somebody says, you're saying dialect. It's dialectic, and I thank you for correcting me on that. The Hegelian dialectic. They're going to push for like mandatory psychological evaluations on 100% of the population, and then they're going to settle for, you know, they'll take, even though they're, because they always push farther than they want. Do you understand that? They're going to accept, well, anybody that's on welfare, anybody that gets public assistance, you know, anybody who wants to buy a gun, that's going to be the thing, I think. Anyone who wants to purchase a firearm has to prove positively that they've never been treated for mental illness. Now they just ask you a question. That's why I don't go to the VA. So they can't say, oh, you have PTSD, which they've already diagnosed me as having PTSD, but I don't take any meds for it. And I argued with them. I said, nothing in the military caused me to have PTSD. You proved to me. You know, so they say down there that I have it, but that, you know. So they'll put it in the vaccines. They'll come up with a mental health vaccine. I think Mr. Bunny Lampkins is getting close to that one in a statement in there in the chat room. They'll make it so that you have to get some kind of Prozac injection every month. You think I'm extreme here? Well, think 15, 20, 30 years ago. And if somebody had said, oh, man, you know, they're going to have mandatory health insurance. Oh, people, and we have a woman in our church that works as a medical assistant. Last week, and I can't give names because she'll get in trouble for violating the, you know, the Hippocratic Oath. A woman in, I can't even give the, it's in our county, in Tulare County, came in, refused the doctor when he offered to give them vaccines. They called Child Protective Services and took her kids. And this woman stood up in church Sunday and was crying because she's old and frail. I mean, it's not like she was going to do anything about it, but it's crazy. See, look at this. It doesn't do this all day.
It's been doing that all day.
The TV doesn't make any noise all day long. I've been in here, and now that we're doing the show, the TV starts making a digital sound.
It's doing that all last night.
It was last night too, after the show. So I don't know. They're scanning us. Sorry to change the subject there, but that was kind of weird. That popped up. We got that digital sound. I don't know if you guys heard it over the system here. Did you hear it in the headphones, Lee?
No.
No. Okay. So they're going to try and make us all crazy. Anybody, 5150. They're going to 5150 anybody. Anytime you have contact with a law enforcement officer, like now, anyone who's incarcerated in California gets what? A DNA test. They can't even refuse it to see if they've conducted any other crimes. It's the excuse. It's always about safety. It's always about justice.
It's not about safety.
No, they're going to come after us, and they're going to evaluate every one of us. Every kid in school is going to get an MMI. Which is, I can't remember what it stands for, but it's like a personality test. He was given a personality test when he tried to join the Army. That's probably why they rejected him.
Who?
Oh, Lofner. I don't even care if I'm saying his name right. The guy, I should just say Dip. No, I'm not even going to say it. I almost swore in the air. so we can't stand by and let this happen. They're going to come after our guns with this. We know that. That's the obvious thing. But look for the end runs. While we're gripping our guns saying, no, you can't have it, they're going to come around behind and say, everybody in America, every taxpayer has to pass, you know, has to take a certain written exam or see somebody. And it'll stimulate the economy because it'll create a huge pharmaceutical and mental health boost, huh?
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, this is great. This is great. I don't know. I used to think people who talk like this were paranoid 20 years ago, but now everything that people told me has come true. I'm joining that bandwagon. I'm starting to throw these weird theories out that they're going to start doing it. I mean, we already know they're putting pharmaceuticals, mind control drugs in all the water. They say, oh, it's from people flushing them down the toilets while you're finding Prozac and tranquilizers. Well, fluoride they deliberately put in, and it's a sedative. Yeah, and now they're saying that there's too much fluoride in the water because kids' teeth are turning yellow or something. But we can't sit back and let them exploit this, as Rahm Emanuel says, let no crisis go wasted. I think that's the exact quote. He's backtracking from that. Now he goes, meaning we shouldn't improve things with it or make things happen. He's trying, because he's running for governor or mayor or something.
Mayor for Chicago,
one of the most corrupt places in the world. I don't know, Mexico City, Chicago. I don't know which one I would, if I was given a choice to go to, and I had to go to one of them, I don't know which one I'd pick. Chicago's disgusting. How about death? How about not going? How about I fight? How about I stand in the gap? I'm going to get off on a rant here, people, and I hope you're ready for it because I've been building for it all day. I just was waiting for the Holy Spirit to hit me with it, and I'm starting to feel it. I'm starting to feel overcome by it. This generation, whether you're a teenager, a preteen, or you're in your 80s, this generation is being called to stand in the gap against evil. I don't care if you see it as evil as Dutch Jones. I don't care if you see it as evil as, you know, the right-wing conspiracy, spouting this stuff. People are just attacking me because I'm bringing it up. They say I'm hate-filled. They're saying they don't like it when I keep posting quotes by Obongo when he's slamming people for putting little targets over districts, so little crosshairs. Let me tell you something. The vitriol, I hate that word, but it's stuck in my head, the hate speech of the left and the tyrants, the Fabian socialists, have a purpose. They're the ones who are really doing it. They're pointing out what they're doing by when they say we're doing it. But let me tell you something. We have a duty to stand in the gap. If you guys will go to our YouTube page, I put the video back up, telling people to join a militia today. God bless Liberty Tree Radio for talking about our video and talking about the Church of Kauai. There's a clarion call going out across the land from those that are doing the right thing. And are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? We live in historic and very important times, both scripturally, historically, politically, physically. Everything right now is coming to a point. And just like at the Alamo, where are you going to stand? Are you going to cross that line in the sand? Are you going to dress up as a woman and leave? Are you going to turn yourself over to the horde of savages that are formed against us? Or are you going to make a stand at all costs and wear it on your sleeve and wave the banner of Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus, restore the Constitution as it is? I differ with Steve Klein on that. He wants to exclude slavery. And I don't know if you guys understand this, but slavery is a biblical doctrine. I would rather be a slave in a biblical sense than be a slave to the state or a slave to FEMA, a slave to welfare. Do you understand that? So the Constitution as it is written is my opinion, and that's withheld, you know, held up by many founding fathers. We don't need the United States of America. What we need is the holy cause of liberty and Christ-based freedom. And I just am seeing a lot of people fall by the wayside. I'm seeing a lot of people turning yellow and running from me right now. People that are offended because I point out the hypocrisy and the evil of the other side and the plans as I see them as they are revealed to me because you people contact me, you people share with me. I'm just the guy behind the microphone, but I am you. We are each other. We're together. We are the patriots. We are the people that don't matter or care about right or left, Democrat or Republican. We are the people that are going to be in the ditches. We are the people that are going to be on the rooftops actually fighting while the rest of these pukes are running or capitulating. We need to build each other up. We need to reinforce one another, and we need to coalesce together and get as strong as we can with God on making sure we're on the side of the Lord and not give an inch. Do not be apologetic in these days. Do not concede. Do not say, well, yeah, you're right. Maybe, you know, we shouldn't have, you know. I heard somebody the other day tell me that, you know, oh, I'm for the Second Amendment and everything, but I just don't see a need why anybody would need an AK-47. I go, have you read the Constitution? Have you read what the Founding Fathers, why they put the Second Amendment in there? The Second Amendment is not for hunting, shooting soda cans, competing in the Olympics, protecting your home from criminals. The Second Amendment is to kill tyrants. We must be armed with everything that is available to us. That's what the Second Amendment says. Shall make no law infringing. If I want to have a tank, I can have a tank. Now, a lot of people out there going, oh, well, that's just extreme. You can't say that. I didn't write that. The Founding Fathers wrote that. I'm just standing behind what the Constitution says. And the Constitution does not grant me any rights. It just restates what God has given us. The Second Amendment is for killing tyrants, taking down unjust magistrates. It's for tyrannicide. That is a term. That is a biblical doctrine. Now, I'm not calling for anyone currently in office to be killed, so all you faggots from the ACLU that are listening, all you butt buddies from the Sodomite Poverty Law Center, I'm not calling for anyone to kill anyone offensively. But when they come for you, when they have their bayonets fixed on you, when they're going to pull another Waco, do not run and hide and don't stop. The mistake that David Koresh made is that they didn't kill every single ATF agent. They didn't come out those front doors and shoot them in the head and shoot everyone that was supporting them and remove them from the threat. They allowed themselves to be laid to siege. Yeah, that's right. I said that. The problem with Ruby Ridge was not that the young boy killed the one marshal and all that. The problem is that the people that were surrounding it, the other militias, the other groups that had surrounded the FBI and the ATF and the federal agents, didn't strike. That was the problem with Ruby Ridge. The problem with Gordon Call's case is that he was turned in by his own people and that more people didn't rally to him. I don't know when the rally is going to start. I didn't know when the rally was going to begin. I don't know which case it will be. The Cain father and son that were murdered on the in that parking lot at Walmart. I don't know when it's going to be. Worland saying any ATF agent that attacked Waco should not have been allowed to leave alive. I agree with that. The sniper that shot Mrs. Weaver. Oh, I wish somebody would take him. Try him and hang him. Give him a just, biblical, godly trial and hang him. I can't pronounce the guy's name. It's Yamaguchi or Chattabuchi or Wadahuchi. Some Japanese name, and I could care less what his name is. He's just evil. Shot a woman in the head through a curtain.
She was
holding a baby.
And nothing was done to that.
No, he was promoted. He was promoted. These states like Montana and Idaho, God bless them, but I hope they stand behind their words. All these states that are joining for states' rights, there's more states today that have added in the lawsuit against this communist Obamacare. I pray that when it goes into act and they send in the federal investigators to enforce it, just like the National Guard was federalized during forced busing, I hope the people show up with whatever weapon they have and wipe them out. Let them start the war, but let us finish it. Don't blow up a building. Don't go shooting senators and congressmen. Don't shoot judges. As much as you may think that is tactically a good idea, it is stupid. Wait till they are concentrated in one place, and when the time is right, when wise men decide, hey, let's call out the militia, let's do this, but this time, don't stand by. Take them out. At the very least, overwhelm them. Use less than lethal force and take their weapons away. Kent State, what would have happened after they shot those first students if the rest of those students had just rushed them and taken them out? Sure, there'd be a lot more dead hippies, but if they'd have pummeled the National Guardsmen and taken their weapons. the second stand at Wounded Knee, the American Indian movement. How many people have studied that? How many people have studied that when they went after the American Indian movement at Wounded Knee? They sent in National Guard with tanks and stuff and fought these Indians that were trying to defend their tribal land. Over and over and over again, we see the tyranny of the federal government enforced upon states and sovereign peoples. Here in California, the feds control the water. The feds control the salmon. I was talking about this stupid show I was watching on... lose a sleep again. Watching on National Geographic. Sit up, Lou.
I need a stick.
Yeah, poke him with a stick when he falls asleep. This boy's got to learn to stay awake more than 10 minutes in a row. They're using every law enforcement, code enforcement. They've armed them. They've militarized the Boy Scouts in the town of Visalia to take weapons from veterans. They bragged about it in one of their Homeland Security videos. Where and when are we going to say enough is enough? I don't know. I don't know. But what I'm telling you is that when that call comes, when Paul Revere, the modern version of Paul Revere, pulls up in his jalopy car, honks his horn, and says, the feds are coming, you need to make sure you're ready. You need to be certain that your haversack is full. Kiss your wife. Tell your oldest son to secure the house and be ready to go on a moment's notice if he is contacted with secure communications. And you go forth into the night and you defend liberty. That is what I'm talking about today. I just keep running into these cowards that call themselves patriots. Unorganized militia group on Yahoo, you're a bunch of pukes. Anyone who isn't willing to go off into the night when the call comes, I don't want anything to do with you. If you would rather think of your own security, your own hide, your own riches, you are not worthy of the call. I'm only talking to real men and women who understand what the cost of liberty is. The word hero is being thrown around ridiculously. There's a huge difference between brave acts and heroic acts. People jumping on a gunman after he's unloaded his weapon into, 19 people is not heroic. Slightly brave. The hero is the one that, as soon as he draws it out, jumps on him, crushes his face with an elbow, takes the weapon, and empties it into the gunman. That's a hero. A fireman is not a hero. A policeman is not a hero. A soldier who joins the military during an active war to go fight is not a hero. The American citizen who has no training, or little training, who knows he's facing certain death, fights evil anyway, to me, that is a hero. That is a hero to me. Even a child who gets cancer and suffers through it with character and grace, that's not a hero. That's not a hero. People have been going, you're so mean, you're so harsh. Because these are some of the examples that I've been getting. Oh, you slam the police too much. There are heroes. They stand no, they're there for their pensions. 99% of the day, they're there to write fee revenue tickets. They think of you as an idiot. They think of you as a potential threat. They're not there to protect you. They're not heroes. There may be one or two that when they get pinched or, they do something right. But what I've found is to be to the contrary. Most cops are worried about how much paperwork they're going to generate off the arrests and how good it's going to look on their record. That's why they're pulling people over in my community after 10 p.m. just to check. They're not heroes. They're enforcers of evil. That's why I don't get all excited. People say, well, you should support the war. You should support this. You should support that. God bless America, right or wrong. And I say anyone that says God bless America, right or wrong, is of Satan, is a serpent, and is to be cast out of your group. You can't trust anybody who's willing to praise evil just to feel good about themselves in a false sense of, oh, my country's great. If you've got a preacher that won't preach on hard things, that won't criticize the government, that goes, I'm not going to say one bad thing about this country because at least it's the best country that's ever been. It used to be. I always say the once great United States. Not anymore. We have allowed this nation to be driven into the ground and beyond. It's been driven to hell because we refuse to act as a people. But it starts with the individual. It starts with the individual. The same person that looks the other way when they're in a store and he sees somebody shoplift and doesn't do something about it is the same person that's going to tell me, oh, just don't get involved. It's not right. It's not now. You know, be diligent. You see like 8 bikers killing some guy. You're unarmed. You don't have a gun. Use your cell phone, but do something. Step in. What did Burke say? I'm going to butcher it here. For evil to succeed is only required that good men do nothing. I'm butchering that quote, but you know, I remember one time we painted it on the fence down on the border. But basically, the only reason our country sucks, the only reason our country is so far down the line to social fascism, the only reason we have an illegitimate king in the White House is because good people refuse to do anything about it. They stick their head in the sand. That's the least they do. But most of them go the other way and play along and help the enemy. When the KGB comes to your house in the middle of the night, all the government should find the next day is a burned car in the center of town and no bodies. When the Gestapo shows up to tell you you can't homeschool your kids, they should find an empty house and be shot in the driveway before they leave. From a mountaintop almost a mile away. Yeah, I'm saying that. Because when they start violating our rights to that level, they have declared war. They want you dead. They want you enslaved. They want you brainwashed. They want you converted to their way of life. When they start shutting down churches because they don't want people preaching against the sodomite faggot agenda, there needs to be bodies. There needs to be people shot in the street. There needs to be a calling to stop this madness. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. And shooting a lone judge or a congresswoman isn't going to serve any purpose. But preparing for the mass force-on-force onslaught will. Preparing for small cell warfare will. I really hope you understand what I'm saying. They are putting in place fascist leaders right now with the czars. Who said that? Mr. Bunny Lampkins. They have broken the Constitution to where it doesn't matter anymore. They don't play by the rules, so neither should we, but we don't strike first because we're Christian soldiers. Prepare yourself for the coming days. Prepare yourself for this war, the second war of federal aggression. I'm not kidding when I say that. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to pander to our Confederates. I am a seditionist Confederate. Not necessarily 100% Southern Confederate, but I believe in states' rights. Okay, we got the break coming here. We are going to be back with Code 20 with Steve Klein. Think about what I've been saying. Give me some feedback. Email me, dutch@dutchjones.info. Here's Johnny Cash singing about just one of the guys, not the greatest guy, but one of the guys, Paul Revere.
Taxes now, America is mine. Stop that independence talk before it gets around, or it's going to be hard to hold them rebels down. Well, the king was talking about the men like Paul Revere and the Minutemen who held their dream of independence dear. They kept their eyes on the British. They watched them day and night. They knew very soon they'd get their chance to stand and fight. Yes, they knew that the British would be moving any hour, so they arranged a signal in the North End church tower. Paul was watching when the tower showed a light, and he started on his midnight ride. He jumped on his horse, hooves started humming. He screamed out his warning, redcoats are coming. Better get your guns and your fighting riches on. They're coming and they're 800 strong. Next morning at Concord and Lexington town, the spirit of freedom turned the redcoats around. When we praise the men who made this mighty nation we have here, then let's remember Paul Revere. Yes, let's remember Paul Revere. I guarantee you something, and I want to tell you all, that we never would have been here if it hadn't have been for Paul. Yes, sir, I surely doubt us ever being here if it hadn't have been for that man on that horse named Mr. Revere.
Who will deny that Christ is the head of the church? And what human power has an impious presumption to invade his kingdom, usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability? Nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention. Government. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, and we're back. This is Stronghold Radio. A big welcome to our friends on Liberty Tree Radio. Big thanks to them for spreading the word, helping us out, and always, always supporting this show. I've been getting a bunch of calls saying that they talked about us again this morning or yesterday morning, so great. Thank you so much. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Experience. I am Dutch Jones, and we bring you a militant Christian worldview. And it is Tuesday, so guess what, folks? It is time for Steve Klein. Now, are you there, Steve?
I'm here. Glad to be on the show, and glad so many people are showing such a high degree of intelligence and restraint. And actually, that's what we're talking about, the doctrine of restrained violence that we find in the Constitution. I was reading Blackstone about it today, in fact, about pirates and things of that nature, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and Code 20, and it all fits in. You got to have the right theology. You got to arm. We ain't giving up our guns, no matter what. If we give up our guns, it's real simple. Years ago, I remember my son had to do an article when he was in school, and they wanted to know about the First Amendment, and I said, well, son, you're going to get an F for this, but this is what I want you to write. If there's no Second Amendment, there's no First Amendment,
right.
which he wrote, and he got an F, and his teacher sent a note home, is this all he knows? And I said, he doesn't need to know anything else. Thank you very much.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, pretty clear, and that's great. And our children are like arrows in our quiver we send forth into battle. Do not forget that.
Absolutely right. And by the way, I heard Stacy say hello to me earlier, but I was commanded by the great commander of all commanders out of Sanger, California, not to say a word because we're hot.
Yeah, we can't turn your volume down on the board we have right now.
Yes, an interesting time here. So it fits in perfect with Code 20, getting the correct theology to arm. Do not give up those guns, no matter what. Find those 3 to 5 families. If you can't find one family, how are you going to find 10,000 families? So find that first family, 3 to 5 families, organized along the 4 organic charters of America, the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, and the Constitution of the United States. something that I went online yesterday, and I found the Law of Nations in Blackstone, and he does a very good job of expressing just exactly how the Law of Nations works in Book 4, Chapter 5 of William Blackstone and the Commentaries on the Laws of England, Book 4, Chapter 5 on the Law of Nations. It makes it pretty simple, and he talks about piracy and the things that we've been talking about. And, of course, with our modern jurists, attorneys and law professors and judges, they always come back and say, well, this Law of Nations, this law written on the heart, is too vague, it's too ambiguous, and it's too overbroad. And I always come back with, but didn't it work really well for hundreds of years in Europe? And didn't it work, didn't it work really good from the time the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock until just after World War II? And then they look at me and scratch their head. It's like, dude, you can't argue with history, even if you're the Big Lebowski, you know what I mean?
only a moron attacks something that's got a great foundation. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but yet they attack it.
Yeah, so for everybody listening, get fired up, get pumped up. What is there, 300 million people in the United States, and we got only one guy taking one congressperson out and a few others. I mean, look at Islam all day throughout the world today. How many people did the Muslims murder, you know, since January 1st, the honor killings, the rapes, the murders? Another great book I got is called Captives, plural, and it's about how the English Empire expanded, and I didn't realize it. I had heard it from Peter Hammond. He really, when we had that great conference, and I'll put in a plug for Pastor Warren Campbell's Old Paths conference, Peter Hammond's really opened my eyes up on why the Europeans began developing colonies. That I had been taught incorrectly that it was only for bringing back commerce and money and things of that nature. But really, in reading this book called Captives, every time the English and the Americans, the French, the Italians, the Portuguese, the Spanish merchants went out on their ships, they were repeatedly attacked, captured, and enslaved. And so, as Peter Hammond pointed out, the colonies began as outposts, military outposts, to slow down the pirates from capturing, raping, and murdering all our people.
Right. They had, it was just like the Old West. They had to put forts out to protect the routes and the settlers from the savages and the bandits. So they had to build outposts of liberty and freedom and protection.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I'm blending all that in together again, going back to the pirates, going to the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. I like to take the complex and reduce it down to simple. Dutch, you're a great job, or a great communicator doing that too. And starting off with all these complex things that the media is throwing at us now, that Islam is a peaceful religion, and that here we have this evil, wicked white guy in Tucson running amok, and all kinds of weird things going up. Well, that's fine. Turn back to the good old-fashioned Constitution. It's not the Bible, but it's based on it. It's pretty darn good. Nehemiah standing there with the Second Amendment. His Second Amendment was used at very close quarters, very sharp, I would assume, sword. And without that Second Amendment, there's no First Amendment. And that goes right back to Code 20, you know, the theology, armed 3 to 5 families, organize and prepare. Well, the theology, if you can't talk, if you can't communicate the truth because you don't have the sword, you lose. It's interesting. I'm going back onto Arabic TV this Thursday, and the reason I'm going back on is because they murdered a bunch of Christians, I guess it was Christmas Eve in Alexandria in an Egyptian Christian church.
Right.
And, yeah, the Middle East Christians have survived by becoming slaves. The word is Jimmy, D-H-I-M-M-I. They become slaves. They're cowards. And I was talking to several of the Arabic producers today, and they said, well, Mr. Steve, frankly, we are cowards. We are afraid. We are too afraid that they will kill us. I said, dude, you only live once. If you're not willing to water the tree of liberty with your own blood, if you don't think that law is written in buckets of blood, but only in black and white print, I said, you lose. If they kill us, they kill us. That's the way it goes. Somebody will step up and fill in the hole, right?
Right. There's always a power vacuum, and there's always somebody willing to fill it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's good. So we got the Code 20, theology, the arm, the 3 to 5 families, organized based on the 4 organic charters, and the prepare. Now, under preparation, I would suggest that metaphorically, we're more or less like the Roman first century Christians. The apocalyptic federal government is going to come after us more and more now, and that's okay. So we do like the first century Christians. Number one, they refuse to obey. It's a lie today with a modern Christian pastor saying that they obeyed. They did not. They did just the opposite.
Yep, amen.
Number two, yeah, they had the right theology. They knew under the book of Romans that they only obeyed lawful orders. They knew that the job of the civil magistrate using the sword was to be a terror to evil, not a terror to good. And they knew that the sword was used as God's wrath against evil. So there's good theology right there. And so we look at what the first century did. The first century Christians refused to obey. They disobeyed. They went underground, and they turned those catacombs into a castle. They turned them into a defensive position. And from what I understand, there's miles and miles and miles of those catacombs under Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it was all a defensive weapon, and so was the theology. They armed themselves, too. They didn't give up without a fight. A lot of people think they didn't fight. All of the stuff that I've read and studied was that they had spears and they had swords and they fought. And when they took their wives and children away from them, you know, then and only then did they give up. And actually, they didn't give up even in the face of the lions and being burned up and dismembered. They were praising God with songs, which is virtually spitting on Caesar. They came together, so they had the theology, they armed. They linked together immediately with 3 to 5 families. Now, as the feds and other politically correct guys, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, and the rest of the goons start coming after us here in the near future, linking up with more and more people will become easier and easier. In the last, I don't know about you, Dutch, I would assume you agree, but in the last 6 months or so, I have heard more and more people say, everywhere I go, I hear people basically saying some form of alter or abolish and reinstitute.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. We're seeing both. We're seeing people that are waking up, but I'm seeing a lot of people that are going, oh, I don't want anything to do with anybody that talks bad about the government. So there's a definite splitting of the ways going on, if I guess that's the best way I can put it. There are people waking up, and there are people giving in.
Yeah, perfect. And that's how it always, in every civil war, every revolution, it does that. If we took a continuum of 100% and we took 5% on one end, 5% on the other end, those are the two groups that are actually going to do all the action. The 90% in the middle will, in some way, try to ignore as much as they can. They'll play the game of the ostrich.
Yeah, or be refugees.
They'll play the game of the ostrich. Yeah, exactly. They'll play the game of the ostrich or the Mennonites, etc. And that's how it's always worked that way, so that I'm glad you brought that up, that you see a splitting of the ways, because that's starting to indicate that the stuff that we're talking about is so terribly important. So the proper theology with Romans, you arm, you get 3 to 5 families, which is, that means if you get 3 to 5 families, you're going to split off of people who used to be your friends. You're going to organize based on the 4 organic principles, and then you're going to prepare, prepare, prepare. So right now, Dutch and myself and some other folks, and I know you're all included, there's a great growing international group of us. I was speaking with my wife, or my wife was there listening to me speak, and I presented Code 20 with how the Democrats and the Republicans are all aiding and abetting the Muslim terrorists, and then I showed all of the 16 intelligence defense departments that are actively recruiting for terrorists to join the ranks, and one lady almost started crying, and she says, well, from what you've shown us, we're cooked. And I said, well, if you give up, you're cooked, but if you use the proper theology and you come together and you use Code 20 and you prepare, you're not cooked at all. Your things are looking good. I didn't want to panic them. But it worked really good, and they came on board, and I think I got some pretty good recruits out of there, and I got some more groups. And this all goes back to Dutch and his show, and that leads to me to ask, so how many of you folks out there have helped out Dutch with finances this month?
There's a lot in the chat room that have, yeah. But there's still a lot of listeners haven't. There's a stout few that are legitimate. They're not legitimate, but are dedicated to do it. But it's the other people we need. You're right.
Yeah, even if it's only $5, even if it's a quarter, how about this for a project? The quarters before 1964 are worth about $5 or $6 in silver. I could be wrong if somebody knows the exact value. Somewhere between $2 and $5 in actual silver value in quarters that are 1964 or older. My suggestion is, I know a lot of you, like myself, have quarters or the old Liberty half dollar or even silver dollar. Hey, give a quarter, give 50 cents, give a dollar to Dutch, mail it to him. It's worth somewhere between $2 and $12 in silver. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt so bad, and you're supporting a great cause. Like Dutch, I mean, just like if you see the movie, I think it was the Longest Day with John Wayne when they invaded on Normandy. Remember how it started off? Started off with the French resistance, and they had all their codes, and it was Jean has a long moustache. And the only reason the French could succeed was because the Americans were financing the English, and the Americans and English financing the French resistance. So consider Dutch and his great show, excuse me, to be, you know, the French resistance of today.
Yeah, but a little better hygiene and less rude.
I hope so. And no commies in your group either. Yeah.
No, we don't have any commies that I know.
This is probably 80% communist.
Yeah. It's what you get with a godless revolution like the French had, but you can use your enemy at any time. God creates everything and everything for us to use. That's the mandate there. Now, okay, so you've got, and I appreciate that plug there. We got to pay an electric bill coming up here because the church supplies electricity, but we have to pay for it. It's one of the reasons why we're down here right now. We're mooching off the in-laws for some bandwidth and stuff because we don't have it up there.
Cool.
My question to you is, Steve, what do you think are the training doctrines these people should put into place? I mean, where should they start? A lot of these people have never even touched a weapon. What is your advice on that kind of stuff?
That's a great point. As far as the mental aspect and then the shooting aspect, and the training on the doctrines, it's pretty funny how with our First Amendment, you can go online to Wikipedia and just type in five paragraph order, and that'll give you the basic rudiments of battle planning, how to sit down and think through the SMEAC, the situation, mission, execution, administration, command and control. As far as the weapons go, get you a Ruger 10/22. A lot of people don't realize it. I used to tell my son, Army, and he became a bona fide, for lack of better words,
okay,
bona fide killer. No. Yeah,
we're losing you. If you're moving around on a cell phone, go back to where you were. It's cutting out.
World, dependable, dependable, dependable. Number one, dependable. Number two, dependable. Number three, dependable. And we talked about my acquaintance where in the Greek War, when the Nazis came in, hung the kids. Within an hour, he had organized the other 14-year-old kids, and using flintlocks, they had come in and captured all of the high-tech, state-of-the-art weapons of the Nazis. So The training doctrine, you can go online to SMEAC, and you can also go and get you a 10/22 Ruger. How much are bullets now for a box of 500? About $25 now?
Yeah, $25 to $30 for 500 rounds of 22.
Jeez, I remember when they were $5 three or 4 years ago. My goodness.
Yeah.
And then once again, go back to the theology. There's a great 80.
Okay. Are you there, Steve?
And it's just, are we breaking up?
Yeah, you're breaking up. I don't know if you're moving or what, but we've still got five bars here, so we're good. So it's something on your end.
I stopped moving. Yeah, type in defense against tyrants. I think underneath it is defense contra tyrannos or something like that. And it's just chock full of Bible verses. And then go get that book by Paul Revere, by Fisher. It's all about how to establish your own selves. And frankly, establishing cells is no harder than establishing friends. I mean, how hard is it to establish friends? I mean, if the guy is a commie, bedwetting, pinko pig, you're not going to make friends with
you're
them.
You're not going to hang out with them. You're not going to get to know them.
You're not going to hang out with them. And in the last 90 days, I have separated probably 60% of my friends. And what's really interesting, as I got rid of 60%, my new friends are up around 150%, including Dutch and his family, Stacy and Lewis. Ruger, I'm not sure about. I think we got to work on Ruger. And then I've got the Pakistani Christians, and it's amazing. My wife's friends are starting to expand rapidly, and we're basing it all on the theology arm, 3 to 5 families, organize and prepare, prepare, prepare. Mm-hmm. So training doctrines, go online and get to the SMEAC. Dutch is an expert on SMEAC. You can send them emails. Yeah. You can send me emails. We're doing some training on January 29th. It's all constitutional. It's all legal. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. I'll be teaching on Code 20 and battle planning, cell structure, cell warfare. And then Dutch and another soldier who teaches up to 300 soldiers at a time how to shoot will be there. And it's worth every penny. The rates, it's better than Front Sight. And Front Sight, yeah, Front Sight does nothing on battle planning, nothing on cell warfare, nothing on the theology arm, 3 to 5 family, organize and prepare. It's not networking like Pastor Campbell and Dutch are doing. So that's a great place. If you live too far away and you save your pennies, there's no reason at all why 6 months to a year or so, why we can't take this on the road like old Buffalo Bill used to do with his Wild West show.
Oh, sure. We can go to your location as long as you get some place to shoot and assemble. Now, do you have a price for that yet? You said it was economical. I don't want to make an announcement if you don't know it. Have you decided what the charge for the training?
Price is only $100, and it runs from 10 a.m. till about 3 p.m., and we're going to break it into two sessions. We've got about 10 people signed up for it right now. It's only $100. You do not have to bring a gun. All you have to do is pay for the bullets. If we got a set, don't worry about that. We got plenty of stuff. If you just show up on the smaller caliber bullets like the 22, we're only charging, I think, 50 cents a bullet. On the 40 Glocks 9 millimeters, I think we're charging $1. Is that right?
Yeah, it's about right, because it's not going to be it's going to be a lot of theory, getting your hands dirty a little bit. It's not going to be one of our. If you want the more tactical stuff, you need to join the church and do the training with us. You need to support the church at Kaweah, attend and do the trainings that I've told you about. This is to get your foot in the door, to give you a lot of knowledge so you can share it. This is your special forces briefing. That's what this is.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, the Special Forces briefing, because you're going to get the fundamentals of cell warfare from a guy who's actually been in it, not just some guy sitting behind a computer.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the elements of battle planning, once again, from a guy who did it. That was my job as an officer in the Marine Corps with an infantry battalion. And then I have watched Dutch, and Dutch is an extremely proficient and expert trainer with weapons, and Dutch and I have the same theory that a lot of people come in and they're afraid, and we will calm you down, we'll make it safe. Dutch is great, and the other soldier is great on one-to-one training, will not embarrass, will not harass, not boot camp at all. you're going to enjoy it. If you never fired a gun before in your life, you'll enjoy it. We got ear protection. We got just about every caliber of pistol up through 44 Magnum. I may bring a couple of my high-powered rifles, so if people want to shoot them, they can't. The cost for the seminar is only $100. You have to bring your own sack lunch. During lunchtime, the Pakistani Christian will be presenting his Christian Guardians vision and how we'll work together with the Church of Kaweah and the Code 20, the Romans 13:4 Defense League. It's all constitutional. It's all legal. It's all moral. It's all ethical. It's all agape. Love is the fulfilling of all law. And so it should be a great time. It's the first time that we're running it at this formal level, and we're hoping to do this at least monthly for the next year.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a need for it, and so spread the word, folks. I told you last week that there was some exciting stuff happening, and a lot of people that listen to the show, they're edgy. They want to do something, and it's just not available to them. Realize if you're coming from out of town, You can sleep on my floor. I don't know if you guys remember back in October, I had Chuck and the Princess Carlotta, his daughter, come in, and they slept on our floor, and we gave them tons of training. They got to go to the conference. We have other houses up here that are currently vacant for now, although we're hoping they'll get filled with families. But there's places for you to sleep. And so if you come in by train or plane, I'll come pick you up. I have no problem doing that. Come in for the weekend, and then after you're done training, stay overnight and go to church with us, fellowship with us, be part of what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring your digital photo, your digital camera, take pictures. You're going to see a lot of really nice, bona fide American people. We're going to be armed, but some of the nicest, easiest going guys, if you go and you look at the pilgrims in Massachusetts, remember that picture where they're walking to church together and they're carrying their blunderbusses?
Yeah, we get it by our front door when you walk into the church.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Nicest people in the world. It's interesting. If you look at that, how they're all set up, it's a military formation, how they're set up. It's really interesting. They got their point and their flanks and their rear and the women and kids in the center. It's really interesting. When I looked at it, I went, they are walking to church as a military unit. I was like, wow,
yeah.
That's really
yeah.
cool. I'm fighting bronchitis. That's why I keep
talking. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
and since we're talking about training, I want to remind everybody that this coming Sunday is our first emergency response family training. This training is free. We ask that you come to church. You eat lunch with us. We'll provide lunch on this one because we always have a pitch-in dinner. And then it's a two-hour class. We're going to start with a little introduction to having a survival attitude. I'll probably spend half an hour on survival attitude, show you a video. I'm actually using government doctrine in this to show you what FEMA's doing and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to do an hour and a half to an hour and 45 on how to do fire suppression for wildland interface, because we live in the mountains. But a lot of it will apply to you guys. We're going to continue to do this the third Sunday of every month also. So we're offering you guys training. Some of it's paid. That's the more intense graduate-level stuff. And then the introductory stuff. The door is open here for you guys. You can't say it's not being offered. Now, I know there are travel issues and things like that, but if you're in California, a bus ticket, a train ticket, a tank full of gas, we're a tank full of gas from San Francisco and Los Angeles, depending on the car you have. You don't have an excuse. The Lord is calling you. This is a clarion call. No matter the threat, whether it's Islamo-fascist or Fabian fascist, we don't care. The training is the same. The fine-tuning is the higher education stuff that you're going to get from Steve Klein. But the stuff we're going to teach you on the shooting range will apply to any enemy. Now's your chance. Don't turn this down, especially the free training part of it. You're not going to find $100 a day training anywhere, period, at this level. You're not going to find free training at this level. I used to get paid $550 a weekend for 2 8-hour shifts to teach what I'm going to start teaching on Sundays, and I'm doing it for free. So don't miss out on this. Tell your friends. Training is supposed to be a form of worship and sacrifice. It's in the Bible, folks. The temples were where the guards kept their weapons. It's very biblical. It's very Christian to be preparing yourself this way.
Well, that's a great point, that worship and sacrifice. I mean, if you go to the Christian principles of restrained violence or the rules of engagement, it's based on the law written on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you start looking at the law written on the heart, as codified as the Ten Commandments, boil it down, simplify it to the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. If you're in a combat situation with anybody, World War One, World War Two, in the old Indian days, if you get captured, you would want to be treated the way that you would treat your captives. And a lot of people laugh at that. And say, why would you laugh at that? That has worked for 6,000 years of recorded history. And then the sacrifice, you were out there sacrificing for your family, for your church, for the glory of God. So, Dutch, once again, that's a great analogy. And hopefully anybody that can attend any of these sessions, do it. The facilities are there. There's tons of places where you can sleep and restrooms, and you'll be out of the elements. You're going to be treated really nice. And, if you're really worried about the shooting in Tucson, then get your fanny into the church at Cahuilla and see what these great folks have got to offer you, Pastor Warren and Dutch. Absolutely.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the shows out there, and I'm doing this to toot our horn here, Steve, they spend their whole time pointing out the problem, screaming and crying
exactly.
about the distress that's going out there. The thing that I think makes my show and a lot of the other shows here on Liberty Tree Radio unique is we offer solutions. You listen to the intelligence report. Sure, they give you a little bit of intelligence and tell you that the barn's burning, but they're also telling you where to go get the buckets. You know, how to form a bucket line. We're doing the same thing here. We're working together with patriots all across this country to offer you solutions. I've seen only a few people step up. And you can't give me finances. You can't give, you know, unless you're, you know, in an iron lung, there's no excuse. You can train for the cause. We've got 80-year-old men up here that train with us. If you're in a wheelchair, you can man a belt-fed weapon, so you better learn how to operate it and maintain it. You know, we fatties. I'm a fat guy. I'm out of shape. I admit it. I got broken knees, broken back, diabetes. I'm too heavy. But there's a place in the cause for me. And don't talk about finances. We live on $500 a month that I get from the VA. We survive. We make sacrifices. Training is a form of worship. It is. It really is. And if you look at our new video up on the Dutch Jones YouTube site, you know, just go to YouTube, type in Dutch Jones, you'll see it. It's the same video that we showed at the conference. I think it was right before one of your presentations, Steve.
Right.
About joining the militia. Pastors decided to put it out there. He was handing it out at the Montana State House, State Assembly. And,
really?
Yeah, he was handing them out to the senators and congressmen.
That's funny.
Yeah, and he was like, you guys got to study this. He goes, just because you're in Montana, don't think you're away. So
Yeah, the swarms of locusts, they will start, you know, with one or two, and everybody goes, and if it's only one or two, before you know it, you're swarmed with these monsters. Hell. Yeah, what Pastor Warren Campbell and his father have put together, Dutch and Stacy and Lewis, and now you got Pakistani Christians from Central California, well, it's coastal, I'll just tell you, from San Francisco, of all places, San Francisco, mm-hmm. You're going to meet some of the most conservative, macho men who are not afraid to train and to worship and to sacrifice and to do the theology, arm 3 to 5 families, organize and prepare. From San Francisco, and I'm in Sodom and Gomorrah in Southern California, and I've got several kids coming up. One, he's only 15 years old, but he's on the verge of turning pro with the UFC cage fighting, and he's going to be a great addition. Good Christian kid that walks around his school with a big cross on his T-shirt.
Excellent.
He's only about 135 pounds, and all the guys on the football team are absolutely terrified of him because this guy is unbelievable. Good Christian kid. His older brother was in Iraq and saw 22 people blown up by a suicide bomber. This young man, Sergeant R, prays and is a good Christian, and he has sent a bunch of the Muslims to their 72 virgins and didn't bat an eye over it. It was the loving thing to do.
Yeah.
So at this training session, you're going to find some very interesting folks, some really high-quality, high-caliber people, and as Dutch said, $100, I mean, that's like free.
Yeah, we've paid a lot here. If you go to Front Sight for a 4-day pistol class, you're going to pay $1,500 to $2,000.
Really?
And all you're going to learn is how to shoot a paper target that flips around and some classroom stuff on what's going to happen to you after you shoot a scumbag in your house. Not that that's bad, but I had 42 students in my class. We went in two volleys, and we had to student teach each other because there were only two instructors. That's ridiculous.
Great.
That's ridiculous. I won't go back there. Now, DFT is different. We'll have 5 or 10 people and 2 or 3 instructors. But this will get you ready to go to DFT and get the most for your money when you pay $150 to $200 a day there.
So this will
set you up for some better training.
Yeah, that's a great point. My son's a sniper, and he's been through it. He led kill teams. He shot them to death from sneaked into the bush. He killed 3 Iraqi policemen from about 10 feet away, like Wyatt Earp, and then he was blown up by a suicide bomber and shot up, and he's had all of the training, but the training is meaningless unless you've been in it. Dutch and I have both been in heavy combat, and as my son said, you know, you can go shoot all the paper targets that you want, but guess what? That paper target's not going to shoot back at you, and you're not going to get the sense, the overwhelming sense of fear that you have to overcome. And Dutch will help work you through that, get you set up psychologically to understand. My teaching of shooting is at nighttime. We can't see. Lights on, then we turn the lights off, and then I tell people, okay, now you're such a great shot. There's your target out there. And they go, where's my target? I go, congratulations. Welcome to nighttime fighting without nods. Yeah. And they're like, you can't fight that way. And what do you mean? That's how hundreds of thousands of guys have done it for 6,000 years.
You think the enemy's going to go in a hole when the sun goes down and say, well, that's okay. We can't fight now. The sun's down. Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, when the North Vietnamese Army working with the Viet Cong, they would wait for the worst weather, the worst mud, the worst rain, at the worst moment at 2 o'clock in the morning to come knocking on the door. We were going doing the same thing against them, so that's why we were successful. And that's the stuff that Dutch is going to teach. So my son was so funny. He came back from Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq. He's killed at least 30 guys at close quarters, just out-whooped them. And then to get his concealed weapon permit, he had to go listen to some phony big mouth get up there and
for 8
four
hours.
Or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Was it 8 hours?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I took the class in that same county, too, that you're in right now. I lived in your county, and I had a concealed weapons permit there, and it was a joke. Here's this cop teaching me who's never actually. I asked him one day, I said, did you ever shoot anybody? He goes, no.
No.
It's like, oh, have you ever fired a round in anger? No. Like, why are you teaching this class? You know,
exactly.
Not that you have to have done it, but at least been in the stuff to deal with it. Because they didn't teach you that under stress, your shooting is going to degrade by 50%. If you have a 2-inch group, you know, when you're up there on the range, it's going to open greatly, and you're going to be shooting wild when people are shooting rounds at you. You got to at least prepare them for it. And he didn't want to talk about that kind of stuff. He didn't teach that most gunfights in America happen within 7 feet. 7 feet.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't teach that, you know. It's just, it's sad. It's sad. It's sad. And, you know, and they don't teach in these police classes that for like every one time a gun is used in violence, there's probably a ratio of 25 to 30 times that it's used to protect life and it never gets reported.
Absolutely.
You know, they're so politically correct, these classes. You know what the qualification was? I don't know if your son told you this. I had to fire like 50 rounds at a target that got farther away, and I had to make sure of those 50 rounds, 30 of them were within the black. Not within the 10 ring, not within the 9 ring, but within the human silhouette. 30 of them. I had to have, you know, what is that, 60%? That's like saying you have to get a D to carry a gun. And, you know, it was ridiculous. They didn't teach reloading. They didn't teach move and scoot. Everything was taught standing in this. It was a 44-foot trailer. You stood side to side, and Lou just said it, the isosceles shooting position. And I'm like, this is just going to get homeowners killed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, maybe that's their plan.
Dutch Jones has presented that very well. And you're going to get training from guys who've been there, three of us, for a fact. Dutch, myself, and Sergeant R have all been in heavy combat, daytime, nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
I was never in urban warfare, so Dutch,
I
told Dutch, yeah, I never did that where they break into a house, but I say, fine, I'll just go find me a jungle. You come get me, and I'll show you how to do it.
yeah. See, when we expand the modules, we don't have triple canopy jungle. But Steve has hunted the terrain behind us, so it'll be suitable for patrolling and stuff as we advance the levels of training we're going to give you.
Yeah, we should have at least, I figure, 12 different levels, and each of them, you're going to be able to shoot, you're going to be able to do your combat shooting. I can envision us going up 500, 700 feet up above there where that meadow is, and we can set up some informal shooting ranges up there that the farmer, the rancher, won't be bothered by it. We'll be talking theory. We'll be talking, why do you do this? And once again, it's all going to come back to what Dutch said, that worship and sacrifice. It's always going to come back to the doctrine of restrained violence. It's going to come back to the law written on the heart. What do you, are we allowed as Christians to murder prisoners? No.
No.
Do the Muslims? Absolutely. It's a gigantic difference between us. And so we will be going over and over and over that, because if you kill a prisoner, you're not killing him, you're murdering him, and that's going to get you into trouble. And a lot of people don't realize that after every firefight, there's always an after-action report, no matter how informal, but there's always an after-action report. And there were several times I had my fanny dragged in before a tribunal and stood before a lieutenant colonel, and he said, "Why did you do that?" Mm-hmm. And I had to explain it to him, and he said, "Oh, okay, all right, all right."
Yeah,
because they were going to kill me, Colonel. But a lot of people, they think they watch Saving Private Ryan or John Wayne, and they run out in the street and start shooting everything in the world. No, it's actually very mathematical, and it's done even when you seem to be out of control. You're still, finding your target, locating your target, doing the best you can, and stopping as fast as you can for a number of reasons.
Exactly, and there's so many basic things that apply to these higher order of thinking, and it's still a process. It's presenting your weapon, identifying your target. Is that target a threat? Stopping that target, and unfortunately, sometimes you have to kill that target. We always train to shoot to kill. A lot of the concealed carry classes teach, you're just shooting to stop the threat. Well, in warfare, you're not shooting to stop a threat. You're shooting to stop the heart and the brain. Let's be more specific, the brain. It's like when you're trying to disarm somebody. Somebody presents a knife. Don't worry about the knife. Think about stopping the brain. And so many people focus on the weapon, and that creates the fear. Oh, I don't want to, guns are loud and obnoxious. Knives are scary and stabby. But if you think about, all I have to do is figure out a way that no matter what goes on, I crush that guy's larynx and he stops doing what he's doing and the brain stops. That's what it comes down to. And if you keep it scientific, it makes it a little easier. The more you train, that when you get into that situation, it's like, Mark Kornke always says, if you remember your training, you will get home alive, period. And the more you do it, the more your body, muscle memory is the same for the brain as it is for your arms and legs. We may have classes on how to find, locate, and position yourself that's advantageous to the terrain, building a fighting position. But it all still comes down to the basic steps, keeping your body from having a huge insult to it that stops your brain. That's what it is. How do you keep yourself from being killed? And it's always basically the same. Shoot and move. Shoot and cover. Shoot and concealment. What was the saying? Who was it that said, the army that wins is the guy who gets all of his resources to the location first and set up? I think that was Lee. General Lee may have said that.
Bedford Forrest.
Bedford Forrest, yeah, thank you.
He says, I get here the fastest with the mostest.
That's it. I knew he said it in a less scientific way, but yeah, that's right. Nathan Bedford Forrest. And it's basic. It's all pretty basic. If you read Sun Tzu, it's all very basic stuff. If the troops keep screwing up, it's the general's fault.
Yep.
If the general does everything he can and they still screw up, then it's the soldier's fault. It's very simple stuff. So don't be overwhelmed by it.
For my buddies at the Southern Poverty Law Center and all the other little sissies out there, what Dutch is saying is actually a very loving thing, because if you survive and the other guy doesn't, Stacy and other wives and children are safe because the other guy is gone, and there stands Dutch and Steve and Sergeant R alive, willing and able to protect Stacy and the other gals. Hey, going back to Blackstone's commentaries, I know a lot of people really respect Blackstone. I certainly do. William Blackstone commentaries on the Laws of England, Book 4, Chapter 5 of Offenses Against the Law of Nations. Now, that goes to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the Law of Nations, which is, we found out through the father of international law, Hugo Grotius, is the law written on the heart. And I'll read from one of the paragraphs what they do with pirates. Subparagraph 3. Remember, this was written back with King James type English. The crime of piracy or robbery and depredation upon the high seas is an offense against the universal law of society. Well, the universal law of society was understood as the law written on the heart. A pirate being, according to Sir Edward Coke, hostis humani generis, enemy to mankind, Therefore, he has renounced all the benefits of society and government and has reduced himself afresh to the savage state of nature by declaring war against all mankind.
Yeah.
All mankind must declare war against him.
Yep.
So the terrorist fits into that paradigm.
Yeah, it's
perfectly.
The modern term.
He's a modern pirate. Yeah, he's a modern Turk. So he's, by declaring war against all mankind must declare war against him. So that's all Dutch, myself, and Sergeant R are doing, and that's absolutely in accordance with the Constitution. It says in there, with a colon, so that every community has a right, by the rule of self-defense, to inflict that punishment upon the pirate, which every individual would in a state of nature have been otherwise entitled to do, any invasion of his person or personal property. And, of course, that to inflict that punishment upon him, I turn the page, and it says, for each of these offenses, be adjudged a pirate, felon, and robber, and shall suffer death. You kill him, period. Kill him.
Yeah.
Period. And that's the law written on the heart. That's the law of nations that comes out of the basis of the folks that wrote our Constitution. So everything that Dutch and I, Sergeant R, Warren, Pastor Warren Campbell, I want to respect Pastor and call him Pastor. He's worthy of being respected.
Yes, he is.
And Pastor Warren Campbell, everything that we're doing is constitutional. It's in accordance with the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. So some of you may think that the stuff that we say is evil and wicked and cruel. No, it's just the opposite. If you don't fight a pirate and he rapes and murders your wife, that's evil, wicked, and cruel. You have actually become, through silence's consent, qui tacit consentire vitatur, is the Latin, you actually have become a pirate yourself. And as it says in, and I'll shut up after this, I think it's 1 Timothy 5:8, that a man who does not care for his family is worse than an infidel. If you just stand and watch, I'm sorry, I can't believe you're a believer.
Right. Now, you said something there when you were citing Blackstone. It says it's every man must. It's not saying every man can think about it. Every man has the option. It's calling you to duty. You have a duty to act. And it goes into, you cited that if we don't kill them, they can kill our loved ones. Even if that pirate goes down the coast and kills a complete stranger, that blood is on your hands. This extends to every state that does not enforce the death penalty. Even states that have the death penalty but don't enforce it, I'm calling on the rug on this one. It is unbiblical, and it's one of the reasons this nation isn't blessed. If you do not put a murderer to death, you are complicit in the blood that is on that murderer's hands because you are not fully punishing it. Now, the magistrate, the government authority, has the sword of vengeance. It is given to them by the Lord. It's scriptural. And as a people, as a group, when we become a body politic, we are acting under the authority of God, and when we are given the authority of the sword and we don't act, we're offending God.
Big time.
And we are sinning. We are physically sinning by allowing that Gestapo agent to go to the next house to kill that guy. Even if we comply and capitulate and say, oh, yes, you're right, you're right, you're right, we're not doing anything wrong, here's our guns, we're sorry. You are sinning. You are aiding and abetting the evil pirate, terrorist, enemy, tyrannical entity, and that sins on your head. And I have such a hard time getting people to believe that, because they're like, oh, no, if I'm just neutral, I'm okay. No, you have a duty to act.
Exactly.
You can't be a Christian and not act. You can't. You're an infidel, period. And it's not just your family, it's your neighbor, too. So, and I get passionate about that because I see people that, you hear the stories about the woman screaming in the alley for 6 hours while she's being tortured and the neighbors didn't even bother to call. I just want to go through and clean out that apartment building and put them to death because they are carrying the same sin and therefore guilty of this and suiting to have the same punishment.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's no such thing as neutrality. People who say, I don't want to get involved, guess what? You just aided and abetted the perp. You just aided and abetted the murderer. You just aided and abetted the rapist. You just aided and abetted the pederast. You just aided and abetted the pedophile.
Yeah.
If you think that you're being neutral, you don't understand the basis of law. Silence is consent. If you do not stop a murderer, even if he's coming to kill you and you say, oh, I can't, I have to turn the cheek, and he murders you, you are aiding and abetting a felon. In fact, it's, I think it's, Fellow de se, suicide is a felony. What?
Yep.
Yeah, fellow de se, suicide is a felony. Well, you're already dead, so, I mean, they can't do anything. But there's no such thing as neutrality. Anybody who says, I don't want to get involved, is aiding in a bad
thing. They're denying the Ten Commandments. They're denying the Decalogue, which says, thou shalt not commit murder. If you allow someone to kill you or another innocent person, you're committing murder. Period.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you... And it's just amazing to me, and it goes back to the mamby-pamby pastors that are in churches today, and 90% of the churches that teach this corrupt, feminized, chickified gospel, you know, where they just worry about people coming and doing altar calls instead of educating their followers. You know, putting butts in the seats and getting tithes rather than educating them and empowering them to be good soldiers of God. That's where it comes from.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a gentleman here, Dutch Jones, that you're listening to. He told us on the air he only gets $500 a month. He's refusing to bow the knee. He's refusing to give up. He's out there actively working hard, aiding and abetting the good guys, helping out. So I'll throw in a plug for him. If you got some quarters, nickels, dimes, half dollars, silver dollars, 1964 or before, put them in a nice package and mail them to them. You ain't ever going to use them. You're going to die, and somebody's going to come in and find those pieces of eight, and they're going to go out and they're going to probably take it into the 7-Eleven or buy a bottle of beer with it, and you can give it to Dutch and his family and help them out.
Well, plus you share in the blessing of our works when you do that, when you build us up. The guy who sent us the tent, the four-man tent last week, the guy who sent us 125 pounds of Christian doctrine great books, you're sharing in the blessing of this ministry when you do that. Not just me, the whole church at Kaweah. When the pastor goes to Montana, when you support this church, like Mary who just left, she's been sending $25 a month tithing to the church at Kaweah, and she lives in Michigan. And I know I didn't want to embarrass her. I waited till she left the room. She's in a different time zone. You share in the blessing of these ministries that you're supporting here at the church at Kaweah and at Liberty Tree Radio, Stronghold Radio, and as we expand the shows, every one of the shows that are going to be here, you get to share in that. Maybe that'll help undo some of the cowardice you've been performing. I don't mean to be mean, but, you know.
That's okay. Well, you know, that's a good point, because cowardice is like, it's, becoming brave is just like lifting weights. And I made a conscious decision when I was about 10 years old that I just wasn't going to back down no matter what. And I know, Dutch, you do the same thing, and it's amazing. People come up and they go, wow, how can you be so brave? It's like, well, the real fact of it is, you can turn around a ship, but I have two cousins who are conscientious objectors. They're both older than me. They refuse to go to Vietnam, and they're in their late 60s, early 70s now, and I'm sorry. They got yellow stripes down their back. They're cowards. They're sissies. They always took the easy road, the easy road, the easy road, the easy road. And myself, when I do decision-making, I always tell myself, which one's harder? I'm going to do the harder one no matter what. And I know Dutch is that way, and a lot of you are too. So, once again, the training on January 29th at the Church of Kaweah is only $100. I have a suspicion this is going to be really successful. I have a suspicion it's going to go up to $300-$400 for a day of training, because you're going to get some highbrow guys talking about cell warfare, cell organization, battle planning, proper safe techniques of using a pistol. And it's going to go step by step by step. It's going to be like starting with math to algebra to geometry to trig to college algebra to college to calculus, etc. In doing this, and it's going to actually, this is going to sound funny, it's actually going to help you with your family. Bring your wife. Bring your kids.
Mm-hmm.
My wife never understood PTSD until our son got blown up. Now, all of a sudden, she goes out and she gets a book on PTSD, and she looks at me and she goes, oh, you have PTSD. I was like, well, what do you expect? It's like, and so all of a sudden, it's like, oh, man. And so you're going to be taught by three guys who have overcome PTSD, who are good Christian brothers, who are going to teach you how to worship, how to sacrifice, how to use the law of nations, the law written on heart, the basis of the American Constitution with Blackstone, with the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance and the Constitution minus slavery, you're going to get some of the finest real-world training. If you want, you can go down to the CIA and you can talk to some geek who sits behind a computer and watches 007
analyst.
Movies along with Saving Private Ryan, exactly, an analyst, or you can come and work with analysts who've actually been there, done that, close enough to use a knife, close enough to feel the breath of the enemy on their cheek, that we have gone out and used all of these principles to survive and to gain control and things of that nature. So I would, and as Dutch has volunteered to pick you up at the airport,
mm-hmm.
I will come a day or so early and help pick up people at the airport, train station, bus station, whatever, if people put in. And I know that we can grow this thing. I see some really exciting things. Pastor Campbell and Dutch set the stage. When I first walked up there, I was a little skeptical, and I looked around, and I went, oh, these guys are pretty good. And I looked, and I started quietly asking questions and watching and kept my mouth shut. As, you know, a new guy on the block, you should do keep your mouth shut. You don't make suggestions.
Yeah, it's a Dutchism.
Little by little. Pardon?
That's a Dutchism. Keep your mouth shut, as I interrupted you by opening my mouth.
That's all right. I'm going to shut up right now and let you end the show.
Well, folks, it's about 4 minutes for the end of the show. We've squeezed out a lot of stuff here. We've thrown a lot of spaghetti against the wall to see if it would stick, and hopefully you guys retain some of it. We use the repetition. I've told you that. You're going to get repetition from Steve Klein and myself because we've both been military instructors, and repetition is the best way to make sure people get even basic concepts. We're going to get lucky, I think, and I think Pastor Warren Mark, if he's around, he's going to come in and maybe give you, you know, give him 15 minutes or something over lunch to share with you biblical scriptures on why we are called to be Christian soldiers, why the modern church in the last 150 years has been complicit in feminizing men to not stand up for what is right. He's going to give you Bible verses and things like that. You're going to get a chance to rub shoulders with some really good people who've been doing it even longer than me. Pastor Campbell's been doing this his whole life up here at the Church of Kuya. A couple of our Code 20, we have our own Code 20 group up here. They're going to be around just standing on the sides. If you need to know where the bathroom is, or you want to get a ride downtown to go get something at a sandwich shop or something like that, we're going to have a handful of volunteers away. Mike's listening right now on Facebook. He's going to be there. I know Vince, who's probably not listening right now because he's computer phobic, he's going to be up there to help us. Rain or shine. We talked about training conditions need to be realistic. If it rains, you're going to be on the range. We may give you a little thing to sit under, but you're going to be shooting in the rain. So look ahead. You know, you can find us where Kuia is on the map. Call me. The phone number's right there. You can email me. What kind of clothes you're going to need. I'll help anybody out. But even bigger than this training that we're doing, and we pray and we ask your prayers upon it, and that you help bless this so that the Lord will support this and that we continue to do it, because that's the most important thing of all, that people will show up. But what you got to remember, as the song rolls in there, Lou, perfect, awesome God, we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome general. We serve a perfect cause. We may be imperfect soldiers and imperfect men and women, but the glorious and wonderful thing is that he accepts us to do his bidding. He is asking us to stand in the gap. And this generation, more than ever, in the last 150 years, has been called to defeat evil. Probably not since World War II. They call that the greatest generation. I have a feeling history will show that those of us that are willing to make a stand and sacrifice our lives, our honor, our wealth, and our families, right now, in this time and place, will be blessed by God. And that's really all that matters. I don't care how much we suffer. I don't care how much we lose. As long as I know my children have a shot at living free, we're going to go for it. So, folks, this has been the Dutch Jones radio program on Liberty Tree Radio, on Stronghold Radio. And this has been our special Tuesday night Code 20 edition with Steve Klein. Remember, AbolishIslam.com, AbolishIslam.com, AlterOrAbolish.com, AlterOrAbolish.com, AbolishIslam.com. Thank you so much for your support, and a special thanks to Liberty Tree Radio for always giving us the bandwidth, and we definitely appreciate that, and we love being part of that family over there. God bless you and all you do, and remember that the sword is heavy, The battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord alone.